church governmental structure. Why we as an individual church do not place ourselves within a conference or a fellowship or a mission directory board or something like that. Why do we not do that? Now, I understand that it's possible to sit here and look at this topic and say, brother, there are so many more interesting things to talk about. Do you not see the state of this world? Do you not understand the contest going on? I understand that tonight we're all very interested in a game that's taking place. I speak, of course, of the game of Papa Balloon we've been playing with Canada. I hear the first one to five balloons gets a stuffed giraffe. And, of course, you know it's going to be good carnival quality because it's made by the same people. So it's looking forward to that. Listen, I understand that, but if we ever lose a good hold on doctrine, it's breathtaking where we could go. If we forget the main points, if we stop preaching them, whether it is popular or unpopular, whether we feel as it is needed or we do not feel that it is needed, if we stop preaching the whole counsel of God, we will forget some things. We will make mistakes. And I tell you what, when it comes down to the things of the Lord, when it comes down to the work of the Lord, we have no room for mistakes. Last week, we looked at the church polity, the individual church polity, how a church ought to behave. Tonight, I want to look at the relationship between churches, because we know that there are some. We have good relationships with other churches. But what is the biblical definition of a good relationship between churches? Right, as we see here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am here. I will be with who? Who is he talking to? His church. Now that church would go on, and we'll look at that, how that church would go on to start other churches. We see that Jesus Christ is the head of every church. Therefore, we know he will not leave this institution. He will not leave this structure. Unless, of course, as we see in the book of Revelation, we give him cause to remove our candlestick. There's a way for us to be disqualified in the Lord's eyes as a church. But as long as we stand the way that we are supposed to, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Which means that we have a shared history. So if we're going to look at the relationships between churches, we must first identify we have a shared history. We all started right back there in the church of Jerusalem. All connected back to that first one. We've all been given together in the same ordinances. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We were founded by the same Lord, commissioned by the same Lord to preach the same message of his death, his burial, his resurrection. We are all founded the same with the same purpose, with the same message. And for the same purpose, Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We have the same purpose, and that is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Hey, you know, I tell you what, your church really did a good job. Your church is really pleasant to go visit. Hey, I tell you what, we really love the conference. Hey, I love the fact that you all did this. Every time I meet one of your people out there in the world, they seem really friendly and wonderful. That's not about us. We give honor and glory to the Lord. Hey, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that a great thing? What a great success that was. We had somebody come for it. Hey, that was one. All that goes to the Lord. From your salvation to the biggest thing that we can do, and that is to preach the gospel, all glory and honor goes back to the Lord. There's a lot of folks out there that get quite happy about putting their names on things. Right? This is the pastor so-and-so ministries. That's not what we're called to do. That institution had the same purpose. We are to serve God, bringing him honor and glory. Well, I'm sure glad you were there to talk to me today. Well, I'm sure glad the Lord put me there today. I'm sure glad he saved my soul gave me the counsel to give to you. I'm glad for the Word of God that I could share with you today because it meant so much to me before I even met you. Glad for the work that He has done. We see we have a historical connection. We also have what we would call a reproductive connection. We understand how churches start. I cannot go out there and start my own church. We have church authority. We understand how that works. We will sit there and we'll say, all right, over here, and I think the illustration I use is over here in Lansing. We've got a bunch of people coming from Lansing, right? Now we've got a bunch of people over there. Let's raise somebody up. Let's vote to send somebody over there. We're going to start a mission. Church all votes together. That mission is under our authority. As that church grows and it's got its ability to sustain itself and to organize, they organize. And what are they? They are their own governing body now. Jesus Christ is their head. Scripture is their guide. That's it. That's how they start. One begets the other. So we're all started in the same way. Matthew 18:18. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now what we're seeing here, we're talking about something taking place in the Jerusalem church. As we go out and we commission these churches, they are seen as churches in heaven. They are commissioned up there as well as they are here. That's the way that works. We see that authority passes over as we vote, and we must vote conscientiously. We must vote intelligently. But I want to pay attention to another thing that we're here, that while we're here, when there was conflict, who were they supposed to tell it to? The church. Now, what overarching governmental body do we see above every church in Scripture? You don't. Who is it? The church. You know, if I commit some sin, it is my responsibility to come tell it to the church. If there is an issue, it is my job, my duty, to tell it to the church. Not the board. Not the conference. Not the delegations. I bring it into the church. Now, when we sit there, remember, we said there are times where we talk about the church openly, like the institution, right? We tell it to the church. But even in speaking in generalities, we see that it is only possible to tell one church, right? Could you imagine me committing some sin, coming forward, saying, hey, people of Home Baptist Church, this took place. I want to make that known. And then I go over down to this church and that church and this church and that church, and I wait for them all to get together and come back and tell me what my responsibility is. No, it is very clear what we are supposed to do. Somebody comes forward, they ask for forgiveness, what do? We forgive them. I don't got to call brother so-and-so. I don't need to dial up the board of pastors and say, hey, pastors, what do you think about this? The Word of God stipulates very clearly what we ought to do. Tell it to the church. We'll rectify. Is there some dispute, some drama between members? Let's bring it forward to the church. Let's put an end to this, right? If there's beef, let's fry it up. Let's get it out there. Let's not play games. But we see here also the foundation. These people here that the Lord was dealing with was a church. I get into a discussion every now and then. When did the church start? Well, it started at Pentecost. Well, who was the Lord talking to then? He used the word church, right? He referred to it. He commissioned it. He used it. They were serving him in the capacity of a church long before Pentecost. So we see the very first church right here in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, we clarified a little bit of that earlier on. But no, what name is on here? Antioch. What do we know about Antioch? They were first called Christians at Antioch. What was that Antioch? There was a church at Antioch. There was a church. So out of the Jerusalem church came the Antioch church. Acts 18:22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. The Ephesian church came out of the Antioch church. Very likely we've got that connection there. There's a reason why we got paper clips all over the church. Acts 19 verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The churches in Asia Minor were started out of that church. One begetting the other, begetting the next. From there, from the persecution or just the gradual shifting of people, churches were started. Works were done. But nowhere in here do we see of a secondary organization. Nowhere in here do we see an overarching governmental body. All we see is one church beginning another church beginning another church. And this as we said, that continued over 2 years, so we see the spread of time, how long it took. We understand that Christ told Peter that the church he built, that the church was going to be built on Christ. We understand that verse, right? You are Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church. We look into that. I love that. It was always a wonderful play on words. Jesus was a clever, clever speaker. Being the Son of God, you'd expect him to be. Upon this rock. If we get that wrong and we believe that the church is built on Peter, then well, guess what? Well, there's your argument for an overarching governmental authority. But I see Peter defined as what? Little stone. My mom doesn't like it, but she's not here, so I can say it. Little pebble. We weren't much allowed to have fruity or cocoa pebbles in my house. But no, all the same, little stone. But upon this big stone, will I build my church? And as a matter of fact, if you look at where they were standing when this conversation took place, you and I could jump on an airplane right now, and we would see ourselves among a beach where there were many tiny stones. That they would have been able to see with the just kind of standing there. You are Peter. And over on the back of the beach is this large boulder. But upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now again, well, that's the word singular. He's going to build a church singular. You can't function as a church the way God commissioned it if you're a big, invisible corporation. There's no organization that he gave us for a larger corporation to exist. It is built upon him. And the point I'm trying to get here is this, is that he also says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, I have a hard time being able to prove that the churches we're sitting in right now, the good churches we would recognize as having authority, I have a hard time linking them back to the Antioch church or the Jerusalem church. There's some that say that they can do it, and hey, if you can, I'd love to see it. Grace Missionary Baptist Church down back where I came out, they came out of Flat Rock. They claim to have been able to drag it back pretty far. It was quite impressive. I'd love to get my hands on it one day. But I'll tell you this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it means what? Shall not prevail against it. Today we've got a very reformist type theology attacking a lot of our Baptist peoples. They believe that the Catholic Church ran off and they perverted the Word of God. But out of Martin Luther, he started a rebellion. And thank goodness there were some people who finally came along and could interpret the Bible clearly and started the Baptist Church again. If that structure, the way the Lord authorized it, the way the Lord commissioned it, ever failed, would you say the gates of hell prevailed against it? I would. Now, where people get me in debates is I can't sit there and show you the lineage. I can't. Records have been burned. Things have been lost. People didn't write stuff down. But I'll tell you this. Shall not prevail means shall not prevail. We were not held dormant. We were not held in waiting. There was no pause button. We were not completely wiped off. We had different names. Many different names all throughout, and we can link from this to that, to this to that. One chain of solid doctrine from here to there. We can prove that all day. But can I link individual church to individual church? Sadly, no. But I'll tell you what, if five animals go into the bush, and I'm relying on the duck, if what comes out of that bush looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, I'm thinking that's my duck. Right? If it's got all the same parts, it's got all the same doctrines, it's got all the same practices and beliefs, hey, I believe it. You couple that with the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'm sold. I got it. But there are some that are not so. They cling to these Presbyterian and they cling to these church father type people that came out and they sat together and, hey, we came up with the right way. We never lost it. Man, there was always church authority. There was always baptism for the saved. There was always that among somebody somewhere. We might have called them something different, but Baptists they were. I do not believe the Lord would have said what he said if we ever could have been wiped completely off the board. Hey, did we boil it down to one group? Was it just one church? Was there five? I don't know. It could have gotten pretty thin. Might have gotten real lean among the people that believe the things we believe. But that verse tells me it never went down to zero. I told one guy, he claimed to be a Baptist, but he's relying on some of this reformist theology. I just looked at him, I said, aren't you so glad the Catholics were there to make sure we didn't lose our faith? Well, come on, if we had to come back out of them, aren't you glad we could hide inside of them for a while? We would have never... Oh, hold on. What does the Word of God say? You see these people? Every time one of these religions would come in, they would scatter and run. You look at the annals of religious history, and you see that they were always chasing somebody somewhere for something. Well, it was just the Catholics for a while. Then what? You look back at their encyclopedia, and you'll see. We went down, and there were people who held this belief, and they didn't believe in... they didn't believe in pedobaptism. They didn't believe in baptizing babies. They didn't recognize the Pope as the head of the church. So we went down and we slaughtered them in the name of the Lord. Who'd they kill? Who? And we see again and again, they describe people just like us without a name. We might not have had a name. We might have called them by something different. But the gates of hell never prevailed against the Lord's churches. Might have taken a few down here or there. But we existed from here to there. And we will be here on this earth all the way up to the day of the rapture. Believe you me. But yet, don't believe me. Can't trust me. Who knows? Sometimes I sound like I've lost my mind. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. We see that there is that connection between us, but all the while we see in our relationship, in how the Bible describes our relationships, we are to be separate entities. We use specific words like autonomous or sovereignty, independence. Those are good. We use those words. You know why we have to use those words? Because there's no other description for anything else in the Bible. Nowhere in there do I find a grand organization. And I don't want to keep repeating that. I get dogmatic about things. I kind of chase things a little bit. But I want to be clear. There is no diocese. There is no go back to the main organizational body. I'll get a phone call every now and then, hey, we would really like to participate in this or that, and we would love to speak to the head of your department, or whoever it is that's in control of your area. I don't know how the Baptists do it, but whoever's in control of your area, I'd like to speak to them. You're talking to them as a representative of the church body, Right? I've had a lot of conversations where we're doing stuff, and they're like, all right, you ready to go? Nope, got to talk to the church, because that's how we do stuff. But I ain't going to the board. I ain't going to this higher organizational structure. I ain't going to try to reach up to some bishop or some cardinal. Why? Because those roles are not described. Well, the word bishop is in there. Take a look at how the bishop is described. That's a pastor. It's a pastor. Pastor, that man had under no circumstances was ever in charge of more than one organizational body. We even saw last week how that church is to do its business as a congregation. My vote counts the same way as your vote counts. That's it. And that's valuable for us all to take place in that level of business. But there is no one placed in charge of the church other than Christ. We need no other governing body. Now, there are a few exceptions. We know. Exception number one being the Word of God. We cannot change the Word of God. We are to abide by it. So when it comes down to our policies, our covenants, the decisions that we make, who we baptize, who we, whatever, everything we do, we bring it back to the Word of God. We're not so independent that we can decide our own doctrine. The Bible's decided that for us. You following me on that? We are under the authority or under the guidance. We are supposed to obey the Word of God. Next, we talked about this a little bit this morning, the Great Commission. What is the function of a church? It was an illustration, I think it was out of California, of a church that after church services would serve tacos. And everybody loved the tacos. And after a while, it became a huge part of what they were doing, and people would come from miles around to come and get the tacos, so much so that the preaching got shorter, the song services got shorter. It is now a taco restaurant. That's not me saying it. They canceled the spiritual portion of the business to sell food. What is the purpose of this church? The Great Commission. To preach the gospel, baptize the saved, edify them. It's our job. It's our responsibility. Everything we do comes back to that point. We've got no other business as a organization, as a structure, than that which the Lord has given us. Now, of course, there's the other one where we would talk about the personal rights of each member. Now, this is a rare thing, but there would be those that sit there and say, well, if the church demands that people start selling off their property to give to the church, we don't do that. Now, we saw in Scripture where people did do that, and that's wonderful, but there's no mandate. No mandate where we could sit there and start crossing off people's personal rights for us to get what we want out of stuff, right? Again, but I think a lot of that we can back up with Scripture. A lot of that we can back up with Scripture. And then, of course, we would say that we cannot operate outside of the law of the Lamb to the extent that it does force the violation of any divine law. So, for instance, if we've got an outside preaching and we've got sound systems all over and we're blaring sound at 11 o'clock at night and the police show up, turn that off. They come to our door and say, you guys can't have services this Sunday because of this, that, or the other. We're going to have church's services this Sunday. You can have services, but you can't preach this. I'm going to preach that. If that's the whole counsel of God, I'm going to get there eventually. And knowing my attitude, I might just do it just to get it over with. Right? they don't sell washing machines with agitators as big as I am. All right. We are to follow certain laws, but we are not to compromise on what God tells us to do. And to me, that's the limit. That's it. Well, I'm under a higher law. Yeah, me too. And I'll tell you what, I'll follow that law above any others. But you're not going to catch me out there speeding, talking to some cop about my liberty in Christ. Right? That's foolish behavior. Right? So as long as they're not asking me to disobey the Lord, this church is going to follow along. You know, we get those things. Hey, do your places like us with wells, got to do your quarterly water inspection. So guess what we're doing? Quarterly water inspection. Right? As much fun as it would be for me to go up to the county and say, listen, every Sunday morning I go out there and I bless the water, we're fine. I'm just going to go bring them a sample. Let's get over with. Right? Now again, we got to fight when we got to fight. We ought to fight when we got to fight. But if you don't got to fight, don't play games. Don't play games. So we've got some exceptions. Now, let's look at what the Bible says that where we can look at and prove our independence as a church. We looked, of course, where there's no structure mentioned. And some would say, well, what about the apostles? What about the apostles? I want you to remember that the apostles were the apostles. They stood with Jesus. They were an educational resource. They were ministers. It was their job to set the score. But it wasn't their score they were setting. It was the Lord's. It was thus saith the Lord. It wasn't them. You get these people that get together. Well, we're going to decide this doctrine and the majority rules. That's not how doctrine is decided. You know what? You could probably fit any group of people together to get the Bible to say anything you want it to say. But that's not the point we're trying to make here. The point is, what does it really say? How can you prove it? Not I think, not I feel, not Dr. Professor so-and-so told me. What does it say? And how can we prove it says it? That's what we need. So what about the apostles? The apostles did as they were directed. What they did. They were not a governing body outside of the fact that they were the freshest tap to get to the knowledge. They had authority as they were pastors. They had authority as they were leaders of the church that they were in, but that was as far as it goes. As Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. We do not have dominion over. No, whoa, whoa. If Peter was the head of these churches, what's Paul talking about? Paul and Peter only had one dispute, and that dispute, of course, being the fact that Paul didn't think it was fair that Peter would sit with the Gentiles when there weren't no Jews around. That was the only debate we ever see between them. No doctrinal differences, just, hey, Peter, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth there, but is it open or is it not open? That was it, but there was no real dispute. Why would Paul not mention that? He would, but he didn't, because it doesn't exist. There is no hierarchy among the churches. So again, not for that we have dominion. Now, we looked last week, and again, the nature of the New Testament Baptist Church speaks for itself, right? How can I have the word church a called out assembly? If we are one big invisible assembly, how can we vote? Didn't the church give us didn't we see in Scripture where the church must vote? Oh, what a noisome thing that would be before the internet. All right, now, what do you guys down there at Flat Rock think? Okay, well, let's check on over here in Wyandotte. Hey, let's call over here in Traverse City. Hey, let's look over here in Klein. Hey, let's call over. All right, now, where are we on this thing? Are we getting new chairs or not? Like, what are we doing? What a joke. We are a called out assembly. How do you know you have an assembly? When you can see them. I'm not trying to, I feel like I'm over explaining something simple, but I'm seeing a lot of people fall off of this, and it's terrifying. Right? Can you see them? Do I have a list of them? Are they represented somehow? That's an assembly. Are we all together? That's an assembly. All right, we all got together, and either by vote or by dipping into those waters, we became an assembly. Now, it's great when we're all here, but due to health and vacations and whatever, we might not all be here, but we know who we are. We know. Therefore, we must see the assembly as a physical thing, which means we should probably live close to each other, right? I can't be a member of Southside Baptist Church in Florida and live up here in Michigan. As nice as that sounds down there, I don't know, we were talking about some of the monster animals that are down there in Florida before we started praying over there in the men's prayer band, but I sure would be nice in the dead of February, wouldn't it? But I can't be a member down there. Why? I live up here. Right? My local church is right here. This is where I am. So that's important. We must be local. You must see me. You got to be able to see me. Now, we got some members of our church. They are shut-ins. Some of them have deep and serious physical ailments and restrictions. That's understandable. But if I am a well-bodied individual staying at home because the sun's too bright and my toes are too stubbed, I got a problem. Right. Well, I ain't attended that church in 5 years. I wonder if I'm still on the rolls. Can you believe they took me off? Those meanies. Listen, you understand the value or the purpose of church membership? These lights are my responsibility as much as they are anybody else's to keep on. That gas bill, that electric bill, whatever bill, the insurance, whatever we got, that's just as much my responsibility as anybody else's to keep those on. Hey, those doors, those hands that need to be shaked, those people that need to be edified. Hey, my showing up to where the Lord is feeding me, that's all my responsibility. I got to take part. It's not just a bunch of people getting together. It's not just a bunch of people slapping their names on a list. We are called out, and not just called out, but called out for a purpose. If you ain't showing up to the congregation and you ain't fulfilling the purpose, you better start. He said to a bunch of people who were already here. And to a bunch of people who were already here. All right? Local, visible, particular. Right? We were talking about the book of Galatians on Sunday, and I've used this as a reference point. When he sent that letter, he sent it to the churches in Galatia. Not the central organization of the Church of Galatia, so they could send delegates to the churches in Galatia and set them straight. Right? We see that he sent that, and that's to be passed around. When the Lord wrote the letters to those churches in the book of Revelation, he put their names on them to the church here. He referenced them having angels. He referenced some of them having candlesticks. We are individuals. We see there as that we have no other head but Christ. Another thing that people would say from time to time is, well, what about the Jerusalem Council? And we talked a little bit again about that last week. What about the Jerusalem Council? There were no delegates at the Jerusalem Council. If I was part of a board or I was a part of a conference, some kind of parachurch organization, we would have a couple of people from our church that we would authorize to go and vote on our behalf. What vote took place in Jerusalem? By the delegates. It was a good old-fashioned get-together to discuss a matter of God's word. It was a discussion, not a decision. It was a discussion. All right, and they got together and they got the apostles together and they had a long, drawn-out conversation about things. But you know what the scope was? You know what the reference point was? It was still the Scripture. Oh, we got so-and-so here. So-and-so has been a member of 5 different churches. He's been here for a long time. What do you think? They didn't do that. It was a reference back to what the Bible says. So even when they got together to discuss certain topics, it was the Lord. Right? It was a get-together. Having a discussion. But under no circumstances is it what we see today. The Southern Baptist Convention, they got together and they get together on a regular basis and they vote on certain doctrines, whether they're going to uphold them or not. To me, that don't sound like the Jerusalem thing, does it? It don't sound like that to me. Well, what do you think it says? What are you comfortable with? What do you think will bring us into the next century? What do you think? No. Thus saith the Lord. Off we go. All right, so don't worry about that Jerusalem council. It wasn't a council the way a lot of people put it together as. It was a discussion. If I'm sitting around and I've got the pastors around me that I know and I trust, and we're discussing a thing, we're not going to sit there, at least not the men I hang around with, we're not going to vote on a doctrine and how we believe it. And if you're going to be a part of this group, you got to agree with us. And then I come back and I preach differently because we agreed on it. No. Now one of those smart and intelligent brothers with far more wisdom than I've got years sits down and they explain something to me I didn't understand before. That's a different animal. That's me being taught the scripture. What's the difference? The scripture is the basis. Not opinions, not thoughts, not ideas. So we can have, while we do have our independence, we can have some cooperation. We think of these fellowships. Somebody asked me, well, who's in charge? Who do I get? Who's in charge that I can get a hold of to say that we would like to have a fellowship? I go, You want one? Have one. Ain't nobody in charge. That was my thought. All I said was, us three brethren, we'd like to have one. He'd like to have one this month. I like that month, but we're going to have it this month, and then he's going to have that month. And I tell you what, there's one more before the conferences start up. You want that one? Go ahead. There it is. If something happens and I don't like what's going on at that church, guess what? I will not go. If I feel as though there's some doctrinal issues, if I feel as though that there's some great sin in that church, I won't go. And guess what? That's my right, because we're an independent Baptist church. I don't have to participate in that. We consider camp. We've got a lot of churches that come to our camp, and praise the Lord for that, and I hope you're praying for that. I hope you're excited about that. But this is a ministry of our church. They can follow our rules or they don't come. That's it. I've said that very clearly. Well, we do things a little bit differently. Well, for this week, you're going to do things a little bit differently than that. Sorry. That's what we do. Right? That's different. I don't have authority over those churches. What do we have authority over? The camp we run. And you can take it or you can leave it, because just as much as we are an independent Baptist church, you are an independent Baptist church. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. We can have cooperation. We can have times where we get together. You know, the conferences, we're going to have 14 preachers. This is not a decision over what we think about Scripture. This is some interaction. This is some fellowship. We see in Scripture where churches communicated with each other. We see in Scripture where churches supported the same evangelists. Right? And they supported the same. So we can have that. I'm sure Brother and Sister James appreciate that it's not just our church giving to their mission. We sent them out. It's not just us. Many other churches do that. Those churches, they have a choice to send that check or not. If we ever took on more missionaries or more missionaries came out of us, we do not get the right to sit there and say, all right, we're going to put it in one big pot. We're going to spread it out. Now, I'll tell you this. Lord willing, we'll never be in a position where we've got one preacher that's white, one preacher that ain't. You know what I'm saying? They're both going to be right as far as we can tell. And if ever they fall off, so does the support from this church. I've seen that happen with missionaries before. They change their doctrine. They fall into some gross sin. What does the church do? You're no longer out of us. You can go anywhere else. You're not out of us. Right? I've seen those pastors, they then go and try to find churches that will be okay with what it is they've got going on. But that's a right that we have. Well, I don't know. We've always been good buddy buddies with this church over here, and they've got this missionary. He's way off on church doctrine, but we don't want to insult anybody by stopping the checks. No, we're going to stop the checks because we can't afford to pay that out. What about gross moral sin? What about gross moral sin? What's that say about a church that continues to send checks to a pastor or a missionary who's in gross moral sin? I wouldn't have it. Would not have it. Why? Because we are responsible for the things that we do. And folks, that is where the line is cut. Am I putting this church in a position where we no longer have decision-making power as an entity? Right? It starts off very simple with these things. Hey, listen, a few of us churches would like to band together to organize the giving of mission funds to these missionaries. So all we need for each church to do is give a certain startup money and then to give more money so that we can make sure these missionaries have what they need. And we would all sit there and say, well, that's all very well and fine as long as we get to pick the missionaries it goes to. And before long, guess what you find? It's all going into one big pot. It's all going out by the way the mission board would have you to go. Oh no, how'd that happen? Because you gave decision-making power away. And it is not about power. It is not about being on an ego trip. Very simply, it goes like this. I am responsible as a church member for the things our church does. So why on earth would I let somebody else make that decision? Right? If I go to the grocery store and we're picking out dinner, I'm not going to give $50 to Gideon and say, pick out the food for tonight. Right? Because who's responsible to make sure that boy comes out all right? That's me. Who's mom going to hold responsible when the kids are bouncing off the ceilings because they bought $50 worth of ice cream and toppings? That's dad. That's on dad. So I'll tell you this. If church funds and church support is going over to a missionary who's got some gross moral sin in his life, who's responsible for that? This church is. Every single last one of us. So why would I give that decision to somebody else? Right? We get together. Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And a few of us churches are going to get together. And we've got two or three people out of each church. They're going to get together and they're going to decide how this goes. Uh-oh. Got to be careful with that. Because again, what position am I in? You know, I've been sitting there praying, and I know it seems like it's been a long time, but there's a reason for it. Looking for a new missionary for us to take on. And I ain't picking on any of the missionaries, but I feel a large weight of responsibility. And when I feel a large weight of responsibility, I vet. I vet, and I pray, and I consider, and sometimes I wait. Sometimes I wait. I have often found they give it enough time. There was a missionary I was so very close to bringing forward to the church, so very close to bringing them forward, and then all of a sudden their situation changed. They stopped being a missionary, and I was like, glad I waited. Glad I waited. Not embarrassing, but that could have been bad. Could have been bad. So what do we got to do? What we have to do is be right with our responsibility, take responsibility, and keep the decision-making ability among ourselves. Right? If not, we fall into trouble. Right? They cooperated in financial endeavors. Romans 15:25, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. They shared funds. You know what? If we found a church in the area, it was a very close, dear sister church of ours, and they had trouble, we've done this in the past. I looked through the records. We've given them money to help support them. That's okay, provided it's our choice, provided they're scripturally right. We've helped pastors. We've helped missionaries. We've funded things. That's all okay, provided we do so responsibly, scripturally, and properly. Right? Those people that send in those checks, where do they send those checks in? They send them into us. We make sure Brother and Sister James get them for their endeavors. Everybody pulling their money together. But I'll tell you what, we've got no authority over those churches. They have no authority over us. They have no authority over Brother James and Sister James. They got no authority over them. The only thing they have authority over is who they decide to support. All right, now, brother, we'll give you a little extra. You change your doctrine up a little bit. Hey, brother, we're going to stop supporting you if you don't preach a little bit lighter. Hey, you don't change from the King James. I don't think anybody's going to come to your church. You hang on to the King James the way you do. You better change it up a little bit. No. You ain't going to change this church. You ain't going to change him. Don't even try. Right? But we can give. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now a lot of people sit there and say, well, Paul told them to give. Yeah, he told them, but he didn't just tell them to give, he told them how to give, because they had a bit of a problem. It was like money being thrown all the time. So he said, no, stop sending me nickels and dimes. Get it together on the first of the week, collect it, so that there's some organization. And again, we look at how we do our missionaries. They don't send the checks directly to them. And thankfully they don't, because there's a little bit of a financial thing when you're sending money from one country to the other. You got to get it right. So what do we have them do? We have them send it to us. We get it all over there. We keep a very clear, obvious report. I'm not sure, but I think most of those checks roughly come around the same time probably. We organize them up together. And he doesn't get 100 checks hoping to get 100 checks. He just gets the funds. Organization. Structure. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what Paul is commanding here. Not only that we should give, but that there is a certain way to give. So in that does require some church cooperation. All right? Don't send it to the church address. Send it to the P.O. box. Right? Don't just send it to the church P.O. box. Send it to the special missionary P.O. box that we have. Why? Organization. Sound business practices. So we can make sure that things go from A to B without any problems. Right? Good organization. That's all we need. Right? Lord tells us what to do. When we got a little bit of cooperation among the churches, little organization ain't a bad thing. But remember where the line is drawn. When I give up my autonomy as a church, when I say my, I mean us as a church, as a corporation, when we give it up to somebody else, right? We still get the choice if we're going to support that guy or not, right? We got brother so-and-so up there in Canada, if we support him or not. Hey, listen, I just found out he was preaching it like this, or we just found out he was arrested for that. We can pull that authority. We can pull those funds. We've got that choice as an independent church. But we also have the ability to cooperate a little bit. Independence does not mean isolationism. And I'll tell you what, that will kill a church. It'll kill us. I want you to think a little bit about Elijah. I want you to think about him for a second. I am left. Some churches, they get like that. It's just us. And our numbers are dwindling. Then you come to a Bible conference. You see the pews packed. Oh, it's not just me. It's not just us. Isolationism will kill us. It's good to see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. It's good to give a hug and shake a hand and sit down and share a meal. All these are wonderful things for churches to do for each other. But at the end, what do? We go home. Back to our church, right? We move together as that church. Oh man, it's good for us to do those things. I know a lot of people, they're getting ready to go down to Clarksville, and I was kind of joking with somebody. They're like, how many are going down? And I was like, well, let's see. And I started to try to sound out in my head all the people that said they were going down, and they're like, isn't that a long way to go? I go, yeah, but most of them are retired. They ain't got nothing else to do, you know. Why do y'all do that? Because it's good. Man, I love preaching. I do. I don't get enough of it, I think. You can listen to 2 sermons a day, still not get enough of it. Need it. Again, my pastor used to say this phrase a lot concerning the pulpit, and that's familiarity breeds contempt. You know, he had 2 of us there to fill the pulpit in every now and then, so we would do a bad enough job, make the congregation miss him. I don't have that. It's good to get out and hear some good sound preaching. It's good to get out and shake the hand of somebody you ain't seen in 2 or 3 years. Isolationism is bad. I wouldn't like the idea of being the only church that supports our missionary. I wouldn't like being the only church that shows up to camp. Would be a lot easier. But I wouldn't like that at all. What do we need instead? We need some cooperation. We need some fellowship. But we don't need a parachurch hierarchy. Of course, you know what I mean by parachurch? That means extra, outside of, something that goes along with but ain't a part of. It's not what we should participate in. We'll finish up next week. I wish this was more of a pulpit-beaten sermon. But sometimes you just got to hit doctrine. And I hope that's what we've done. Next week we'll finish this up and we'll look at particular organizations and how they defy Scripture in their existence, and why we should be cautious in participating in those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your word. Grateful, Lord, for your teaching. And Lord, we know that it all comes down to how we practice this book. So, Father, I pray that you not make us to be complacent, that, Lord, you not make us get distracted by the grander, larger, more terrifying things, but, Lord, help us to keep the everyday. Lord, help us to abide by you, respect you with our decisions. Lord, help us to do right by you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.